Luke chapter 8 tonight, if you would. Luke chapter 8. This message specifically has been on my mind to share with you. And this has been something on my mind for quite some time. And the Lord's used in my heart greatly. Luke chapter 8. We'll look at verses 14 and 15. It's the parable about the sower in the ground, and we all should be familiar with this parable, I think. And so I won't read through the whole parable. It's really the last verses there, 14 and 15, that I want to, or the verses 14 and 15 that I want to focus in on. So let's go ahead and read those. Verse 14, it says, "And that which fell among thorns are they which, when they have heard, go forth and are choked with cares and riches and pleasures of this life, and bring no fruit to perfection." So we have there the three choking hazards of the Christian. The cares, the riches, and the pleasures of this life are the things that the Christian, that will prevent the Christian from perfecting fruit in their lives. Let's read on verse 15. "But that on the good ground are they which in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it and bring forth fruit with patience." Let's go ahead and pray. Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you that you've given us this opportunity, Lord. Thank you for this church. Lord, it's been a great incubator for us in ministry as a family. Lord, you've taught me so much, and thank you so much for this church and the people here that have been a blessing to me since a child, Lord, and have encouraged me and strengthened me. And thank you for your word. Now we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. What I want to talk about tonight is the fruit. And we might get into those three things, but specifically the Christian life in regard to bearing fruit. And we know that the fruit has to be ripe to get the glory for it. We can all argue about when the best time to eat a banana is, right when it's just turning mostly yellow. Some people like them when they're green, but I don't. So we can all argue about the best time to when something's ripe, but we all can agree there's a time when the fruit is ripe. It's ready to pick. It's ready to eat. And that is when you enjoy the fruit, when it's ripe. And so we see here in verse 14, it says, "And bring no fruit to perfection." The first thing we see is that as Christians, our spiritual fruit has to become to perfection for God to use us. Many times we might pick the fruit before it's ripe, or we might get ahead of God and try to do things ahead of time. We know that in John 15:8, I know Mitchell's been talking about this in Sunday school, so this should be very familiar with a lot of us. John 15:8, we know that the Father is glorified when we bear much fruit. And there's an emphasis on much fruit. As a child, we lived in Ohio for a while. We were on a farm, and on that farm, I can't remember if we planted it or there was already a small pear tree. It was only about probably 3 or 4 feet high. And as kids, me and my brothers and sisters, we would go out there every day, and we would watch for fruit to come out on that pear tree. And we were so excited that one day this little pear started growing on this tree, just one pear. And like I said, it's a short tree. And so we'd go out there almost every day. Is it ripe yet? Is it ripe yet? And so we were all excited about this fruit that we were going to eat. And so one day we went out there. It was finally ready to eat. It was finally ready, a little bit squishy. And so we were going to pick this fruit, and we were going to divide it five ways, and we were going to enjoy this fruit. And so we go out there to pick the fruit, and lo and behold, our dog, man's best friend, comes running up behind us, sees the excitement, and jumps up and grabs the pear, takes off with it. and leaving us just, of course, devastated. We've been waiting all this time for this pear to ripen. But sometimes I'm afraid that God comes to find fruit in our life and it's destroyed. God comes to get the glory of something that he's been doing in your life, and it's destroyed, or it's being used for our own glory. The Bible says that, the husbandman, the farmer, is worthy to eat of the fruit. Are you letting God be glorified in his fruit? You know, we know that the example in John 15 is the vine. Christ is the vine. We are the branches, and then we have the fruit. So we are not the fruit. We are the branches. I don't look at a tree and say, those are beautiful branches usually. You look at the fruit and you say, wow, look at that fruit on that tree. And that is it for the Christian. We are not the ones that get the glory. God, the nutrients comes through us, through the branch, to the fruit. We glorify God by the fruit that is brought forth. And it's only from God. It's only from God's, for God's glory. But sometimes we do things to destroy the fruit. We do things to pick the fruit before it's ripe. And God comes and says, where's my fruit? And it's gone. It's destroyed. I think there's two things involved in fruit that we can see is time and nutrients. You know, you take an apple. I don't have an apple with me today, but you just think of an apple. You know, man cannot improve on the apple. God has made the apple, any fruit. And that fruit is the result of time and nutrients. You know, God designed that to work that way. It takes time. You can't just produce an apple today. It takes time, and the nutrients has to be there. So it takes patience to perfect fruit. You think of James chapter 1. The trying of your faith worketh patience. Again, we don't like the word patience. You know, like I mentioned, we got a Bible college and we wanted to immediately leave. We wanted to be on, doing what the Lord calls to do. But I believe the Lord has had to prepare us in areas in our life. And that means holding us back and saying, no, the fruit is not ripe yet. The fruit is not ready. And I'm not saying that I feel like I'm ready. I feel like I know the Lord has given us the go ahead, but there's always room for improvement. I want to look at Joseph's example real quick here. Joseph, I know Pastor brings up Joseph a lot, and it truly is. He is the amazing example of perfecting fruit for God's glory. And specifically, the pruning. You see in John chapter 15, he says that he'll prune to bear more fruit. You know, that involves pain sometimes. And Joseph went through a lot of hardships, a lot of pain. But look in Genesis chapter 41, if you would. Genesis chapter 41. We know that Joseph was 17 years old when he had the dreams, when he was sold into slavery by his brothers. We know he was about 17 years old. And in verse 46... Genesis 41, 46, it says, and Joseph was 30 years old when he stood before Pharaoh, king of Egypt. And Joseph went out from the presence of Pharaoh and went throughout all the land of Egypt. Joseph was 30 years old here when he stood before Pharaoh. You know, that time that Joseph stood before Pharaoh was the perfecting God showing him, this is the time. This is what I've been preparing you for, this moment. He was 30 years old. So we know he went into slavery about 17 years old. It took God, it took 13 years for Joseph, for God to get Joseph to the point where he stood before Pharaoh at 30 years old, and God used Joseph to do his will, to save much people, to save many people, and his own family. I turned 30 in November this last year, and I know Roger's back there. He's going to throw an apple at me, but 30 years old, and this year in particular, I've seen just a lot of things come about in my life that I've looked back and say, wow, that's why that happened. That's why this happened, and things that I didn't understand then, but God has shown me this is what I was protecting you from. This is what I was trying to do. And a lot of those things were hurtful things. There were painful things. But God, you know, Joseph went through family heartache. He went through a lot of things. But God showed him in the end, this is why I've been doing this. This is your moment that I've been preparing you for. So look at verse 50 and 52, Genesis 41. Now, so this is after Joseph stood before Pharaoh. It says that, and unto Joseph were born two sons before the years of famine came, which Asenath, the daughter of Potiphar, priest of On, bare unto him. And Joseph called the name of the firstborn Manasseh, for God, said he, hath made me forget all my toil and all my father's house. And look at the second, in verse 52, and the name of the second called he Ephraim, for God hath caused me to be fruitful in the land of my affliction. So I believe the example here that we can see is Manasseh, meaning Manasseh meant causing to forget. And Ephraim meaning double fruit. What God showed me in this example of Joseph and his naming his sons, you know, for every toil, God has a Manasseh. For every affliction, there's an Ephraim. And I could see that so clearly in my life. He said, God has caused me to forget the toil, the things that hurt, those things that his brothers selling him into slavery. God gave him two sons, and he names those sons to represent what God has done in his life. Double fruit, causing to forget. You think of Psalms chapter 1, verse 3, it says, and he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Again, I think you can see the two things in Psalms 1:3 that have to do with fruit. You see the water, which would be the nutrients. You know, water and nutrients travel together. And then you see that fruit in his season. That's time. To perfect fruit in the Christian's life, it takes time and nutrients. Time and nutrients. The lesson for us is God has fruit for us to bring forth in his exact season. His exact season. We need to have the patience to let God have his way in our lives. Don't pick the fruit before it's ripe. You know, like I said, our job is the patience. God does the perfecting. He does the work. It's our job to wait on the Lord. Be of good courage. You know, many times, this can apply to children. You know, you raise children. We're trying to raise our children to serve the Lord. And it's challenging at times, as all of you know. But you follow God's plan. You do what's right. And it starts to bear fruit in time. You don't see the example. You don't see the results immediately sometimes. Sometimes you feel like you'll never see the results of parenting. But then you'll start seeing the glimpses of the fruit that you've been putting in, the time. You know, I count the evening devotion times the most important time of the week for us. I mean, church, obviously church is there too. But those times we get together as a family and we read through the scriptures and we sing the songs. Those are essential time to any family. And someday we will see the fruit from that. But teenagers can learn from this example. Teenagers like everything now. We like things now. I was a teenager just a few years ago. but, you know, teenager, don't pick the fruit before it's ripe. Let God perfect the fruit. Let him finish the work in your life. Don't get ahead of God's plan for your life. The teen years are so important in bringing forth fruit. And then sometimes the senior saints sometimes feel like there's nothing left for me to do, or maybe my season's passed. But you think of it, God, like I said, I believe God has a fruit for every season in your life. He bears fruit throughout your, but you have to wait upon the Lord. But just think of all the experience, all the wisdom, the fruit of wisdom and experience that you can pass on as well. And that is, I believe, a fruit that only the older generation can present, because they've had a lifetime of experience. So bear fruit in the old age as well. So that was the introduction. I'm going to give you the 3 points very quickly, and then we'll finish. We read back in Luke chapter 8, in verse 14, like I said, I call these the three choking hazards of the Christian. The three choking hazards of the Christian. Because we see that the parable here talks about the seed that grew up. It fell among thorns and it grew up. And what did it say? Let's just read verse 14. And that which fell among thorns are they which, when they have heard, go forth and are choked with cares and riches and pleasures of this life, and bring no fruit to perfection. I believe you can narrow almost anything in your life down to these three areas that destroys the Christian. The cares of this life. What are the cares of this life? The things that consume us. The things that worry us. You know, the worry of this world can crush you. It can tangle you up if you're not careful. The cares of this life. Just going through your week, getting the bills or whatever can worry you, consume you if you're not careful. But the thing to remember is cares distract us from fellowship with Christ. The cares of this world can distract us from the fellowship with Christ if we're not careful. I believe America is one of the most stressed nations. We have all the technology. We all carry around our entire life in one little phone, basically. We have the technology, but we're still the most stressed people. Anxious. We're anxious. You know, Jesus told Martha in Luke 10, 41, 42, he said, Martha, Martha, thou art careful, which means anxious. We're careful and troubled about many things. He said, but one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part, which shall not be taken away from her. We have to choose the good part, the thing that will not be taken away from us, the fellowship with Christ. The things of this world will consume us and worry us and choke us as Christians. Let me ask you something. If Christ returned right now, what would you not be worrying about anymore? What would you no longer be worrying about? A lot of things. If Christ came back today, you know, you would no longer... The point is, don't worry about it, because if Christ came back right now, those things won't matter. We need to plan. We need to do things. But put things in perspective. What is the important thing in eternity's eyes? One of my favorite songs, turn your eyes upon Jesus, look full in his wonderful face, and the things of this earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. We just need to turn our eyes upon Jesus more. I think we just need to turn our eyes on Jesus more. 1 Peter 5:7, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. In Philippians 4:6, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication. With thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Don't be careful. Don't let the cares of this world distract you and choke you. And then secondly, we see that the deceitfulness of riches... The deceitfulness of riches in Luke 8:14. Talks about the riches choking the Christian. We know in 1 Timothy 6:6 says, but godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and raiment, let us be there with content. But they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. the deceitfulness of riches is the temptations that follow and cause men to err from the faith. You know, riches provide many opportunities to become snared in different ways. Not that riches can all be bad. We can use them for God's glory. But they also have a dangerous side to them. Don't be distracted or choked by the riches of this world. Hebrews 13:5, let your conversation be without covetousness and be content with such things as you have. For he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. And then lastly, we see the pleasures of this life. The third thing that can choke the Christian is the pleasures of this life. In Mark, in the Gospel of Mark, he puts it this way, the lust of other things entering in. The lust of other things. What's the other things, the significance there? Well, other than Christ. You know, if there's anything else that takes your love from Christ, it's becoming a dangerous pleasure in your life. You know, there's good pleasures. We enjoy many things. But there's also those pleasures that become weights and a distraction. And then there's obviously evil pleasures as well. We know that we cannot partake in. But we must not let the pleasure of this life take God's place in our life. We know that Demas, in 2 Timothy 4:10, for Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world. Don't let it ever be said of us that we forsook God for this present life. The fruit. So, the question tonight is, are we bearing fruit? Are we letting God perfect the fruit? Are we getting the glory from what God has done in our lives, or are we letting God have the glory for what He's done in our lives? Let's go ahead and close in prayer and pass you. Come up. Father, we thank You for Your word. Lord, thank You so much for what You've done in my life. I pray that this message tonight would be a help to all of us. And Lord, I pray that it would be encouragement. And Lord, if there's anyone here that's not saved, Lord, that they don't know You as Savior, Lord, I pray that tonight they would truly put their faith in You and that they would not go another day without knowing You. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Boy, there was a lot there to be helped to you tonight. There was a whole lot there from